In this episode, we had Laura Phillips reveal what a reverse mortgage is and how they can benefit divorcing women. Stay tuned to discover if a reverse mortgage is an option for you.
Welcome to Women Winning Divorce, the podcast helping successful women navigate divorce with dignity so you can protect yourself, your children, and your assets. I'm Heather Quick, founding attorney at Florida Women's Law Group, where women win at life.
This week, we had Laura Phillips on the show, and we had a great conversation about how reverse mortgages work, how they can help women navigate divorce, and secure financial stability afterwards. I hope this episode is valuable to anyone who might be listening. Stay tuned for the full episode. Welcome to this week's episode of Women Winning Divorce. I'm Heather Quick, owner and attorney at Florida Women's Law Group. Today, Laura Phillips is joining us. She is a mortgage expert with over 30 years of experience in the industry. Laura is passionate about understanding the numbers and how to leverage them to benefit her clients, particularly women navigating divorce. Today, Laura and I will be discussing understanding reverse mortgages and how they work, how reverse mortgages can help women during divorce, and using a reverse mortgage to secure financial stability post-divorce. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you so much for having me on board, Heather. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm really glad because I don't know much about them at all, so this is going to be wonderful for me as well as all our listeners. So, but Laura, first, just would you share a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today doing this?
Absolutely. I got married back in 80 during one of the many recessions that we have had in this country. And my husband and I moved to Colorado. No jobs at that time. So I did what everybody else does when there's no other jobs. I went to real estate school, got my real estate license. And, you know, it really made a lot of sense because interest rates were at 18%. Surely we could sell houses at that point, which was really not true. But I understood the numbers. I really gravitated to how the numbers flow and work in somebody's finances. So I thought, let's do mortgages instead. And I have been in mortgages ever since then.
Wow.
A few years off to have my daughter, but I'm back. You know, I've been back for a long time.
So let's start with the basics. What is a reverse mortgage loan?
Well, first of all, it's a loan. And I know that sounds really scary for people to hear, but it's a product that can help you tap into your equity on your home and allow you to not have to make mortgage payments if you do not want to. It's a product that's been out since 1961, with the very first one helping a widowed woman stay in her home with her children. President Reagan put it into effect, a part of the HUD and FHA products, in 1988. It's worldwide, by the way. Almost every country has a reverse mortgage for their senior citizens in some form or another.
So explain to us what it is, because it is a loan, but it's different than a home equity loan, or maybe not a home equity line of credit. Like that, I understand that. I think a lot of people understand that. They kind of look at, yeah, we got a second, you know, loan on our house or whatever. So what's the difference between them, if any?
You know, I think the biggest difference is with when you go to get a home equity line of credit, it's good for a certain amount of time on draw, and then you have to start making payments back against it. Now, you can pay into it, draw back out, all of those things. Well, that's exactly what happens with a reverse mortgage, but you don't have to make the payments. And the other thing was is that when we had the collapse in 2009 through 11, 10, you know, with the industry, everybody's lines of credit were turned off the next morning, whether they had money available or not in the institutions, they were gone. With a reverse mortgage, you don't lose whatever line of credit if you establish that type at all. It stays with you for life. So it's, you know, that's really the big difference. Think of it as a line of credit, but I don't have to pay on it.
And how is that possible? How do you not have to pay on it?
Well, for to start out with, you have to be at least 62 years old to get an FHA or a HUD product. I do have jumbo products that go up to $4 million, so it covers those home prices that are increasing on us, escalating almost nightly, and that you have to be 55 for that particular product. Now, both of those products have a fixed rate and a line of credit. I use they use your equity in your home. So you have to have about 60% equity in your home to actually make a reverse mortgage work. When that's there, you are going to borrow against that a certain amount, and the rest of the equity is going to pay on the interest on that home or on that loan from your home. So that's really how it works, is the house is paying the interest for you instead of you paying the interest to the house.
And, you know, so obviously there are age requirements. So who can benefit the most from these types of products?
I think anybody who is either 55 or 62, depending on, really depending on the value of their home, would benefit from it from a couple different ways. If they want to not take and use their 401ks for, say, buying out a spouse, or if they don't want to stay in the home because of a divorce, they'd like to restart in a new home, a new life, a new chapter in their life, you can actually use a reverse mortgage to purchase a home, which is pretty good. It's a pretty interesting product. So that really benefits people the most, is to be able to hang on to their assets that they've already developed and grown and use the house, which is also an asset, but we don't think of it in those terms, to be able to finance, lack of better words, finance their lives, finance the next third of your life.
Now, what type of expert or lender do you need in order to get a reverse mortgage?
Well, just about anybody who has license can do a reverse mortgage, but I don't necessarily recommend that. I really think that you should see a specialist. I mean, if you, it's like you don't want to see your GP if you have brain issues. Probably want to go see a brain doctor. So it's kind of the same thing. Reverse mortgages are unique. They're not hard, but they are unique in the way you think about them, in the way you process them and operate with them. So I would highly recommend looking at somebody who is licensed and has been doing reverse mortgages almost as a specialty. That's all I do. I don't do forwards any longer. I only do reverse.
Okay.
And I love them.
And so it made me think of something. Let me ask you that. Because you said you don't have to pay on it.
Right.
So what is the length of time? Because, you know, we all know, or well, for our listeners who don't, generally a first mortgage is a 15, 30 year, you know, there's years, there's a cap on it. What about with a reverse mortgage? Is that under any kind of time frame?
Pretty much. We start with a 30 year. So if you're 62 years old and you're getting a reverse mortgage, we're going to calculate it out for 30 years. Now, each year, it's going to accrue a certain amount of interest. We're going to use a really terrifying word right now, negative amortization loan. But let's not all fall over. It's not as bad as it sounds. It just means that the house is paying for the loan and you're not. So if you, it goes out for 30 years. So if you're 62, we're going to go out for, 92 years old. However, I had a 92-year-old do a reverse mortgage not that long ago, and that party's loan only went out 15 years. So it's like those same types of schedules that you see on life insurance.
Okay.
They're projecting. They don't know how long you'll live, but they're just projecting out. If you live this long, this is what could happen on the loan. Same with life insurance. This is what could happen if you live this long.
And let's say you got a 30-year at 62. Okay. Uh-huh. So then that 30 years, you're 92. What happens then? Do you have to sell the house?
No, you just stay in it. You have to pay your taxes, but we have to pay our taxes anyway on property, except you guys are thinking about taking away taxes, our property taxes on your properties.
Yes, that is proposed.
It's going to change the dynamics of all loans at that point. But right now, we'll just assume that your property taxes are still in effect. You would have to make sure your property taxes are still paid yearly. You'd need to make sure that your home insurance, your fire or hurricane insurance is up to date and constant. If you have an HOA, of course, they want to make sure that you're paying your HOA dues. And then there's some general maintenance and upkeep. Now, what does that mean? It means, like, if the roof gets damaged, you know, obviously you need to get it repaired. Stairs need a railing, that's a safety and health issue. They would want to see that done. Do they want you to paint your house because you've got some peeling paint? Those are issues that are not as critical to having the maintenance of the home. But the big ones are, of course, your insurance and your property taxes.
And so the idea is once you die, then they sell your house and they get paid. Is that pretty much it?
Pretty much it. Once you die, your house is going to go into your estate. However you've set it up, it's going to go into your estate. If the house has value still in it and its loan is less than the value, then it would probably make sense to sell it on your end so that you can
okay.
Retain those funds, not give it to the bank to do. So your heirs would have that opportunity to sell it and recoup any additional funds that are available after the loan is paid off. Now, the really nice thing about these loans, and it's been a protection since the beginning of the loans being put into place, is that if the loan is greater than the house value, they just give the keys back to the bank. And there's no recourse. It's actually called a non-recourse loan, which means that they can't come after you or your heirs or your estate for the balance of the loan, which is really it. So you could live in the house to be 110 or 20. At the rate we're going with science, that may actually happen. So you can live there as long as you want and not pay the any fees for the interest. Again, making sure that you pay the taxes and insurance to keep the house up.
So is a reverse mortgage considered an investment or a retirement like strategy? Or how would you categorize it, say, to the women who are listening and thinking, oh, maybe this is an option for me?
You know, it's kind of a hybrid. It's not an investment because you're not buying stocks or anything of that sort. But does it help retirement? Absolutely. So between the two, I would say it benefits both, but again, is not one or the other. How does it benefit? Well, if your investments... You don't want to use your investments. You don't want to use those stocks and assets unless you absolutely have to. You want to let those grow as long as possible. So a reverse mortgage could help on those down years when, say, the stock market is earning less, so you're paying you less in dividends. So you could potentially take that out of your home to supplement your income. So it's a great way to keep your assets with you.
Now let's talk about this because I think, you know, that reverse mortgages may have a bad reputation or certainly did in the past. Maybe they still do. And how have those ideas evolved? Like, where does that come from, do you think?
Well, I've been in the business for a long time. And so I think most bad reputation or bad ideas is because somebody didn't think through how the loan works.
Okay.
Let's give it some thought. So back in 1988, the loan was probably in the male's name. Not that women didn't get loans at that time, but let's just think back on the history of life. And so they didn't put the other spouse on. They usually didn't put the wife on. They put the oldest member on, and that was typically the male. So when he or that party passed away,
right,
he was left that other. The second party was left literally on the street. So it was like grandma was being...
So because like they both benefited from that money. Right. However, right. Now you don't have the house and maybe that was not his intent. Maybe he didn't understand. So, but that would be a bad result.
I think I call it like the old aha moment that great, what was it, VA? Oh, I should have had a VA kind of thing. It's kind of like that aha moment where they realize, oh, this is bad press. this wasn't our intent. So I can't actually remember the year that they actually changed, but it was shortly after the product came into play that they decided to make both parties. If two people were living in the house, whether they were married or not, since mm-hmm. that's the situation we have nowadays, the youngest member is what we base the loan on. So in my particular case, I'm 7 years younger than my husband. We could see more equity tapped if we used my husband's age. However, if my husband were to pass, I would have no benefits or recourse to be able to stay in the home. So this was one of the big changes they made to make sure that both parties were on the loan.
Yeah, because I think that I can see how that created, you know, really bad results. And it was just short-term thinking and probably didn't really think of that negative consequence at the time.
Absolutely.
Now, you mentioned that reverse mortgages are particularly beneficial for women in divorce situation. Mm-hmm. Can you just elaborate on that for me?
Well, I think there are a couple different ways it can help women. Let's take the first one. She wants to stay in the home.
Okay.
She's got obviously, it's a home that has to split the equity between her and the exiting spouse. So how does that happen? A lump of sum of money has to come from somewhere to pay off the other party. Well, one of the ways could be that she could take it out of her savings or her 401ks. And, you know, she probably doesn't want to do that because that's her retirement. So using, if she stays in the house, she takes possession of the home. She can do a reverse mortgage on it. With enough equity in the home, she can get cash out and be able to pay her spouse off, thus keeping the assets that are hers in her pocket. That's one way a reverse would really help. The other is I'm done with the house. I don't want to be here anymore. I want a new life, a new slate. I mean, I'm ready to just get out and live my best life. Now she's looking at homes and, oh my gosh, the prices have really gone up.
Right.
Nationwide.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Well, let's say she's got $400,000. From the separation, from the divorce. And the houses that she's really liking are $500,000 and $600,000, which does she want to tap into that 401k to buy? Again, I don't personally recommend it. I feel like you got to hang on to that money. It was hard earned and hard working hard for you. So let's look at the reverse. It's about 60% equity. Now this is basic math in my head. We'll see if I can do it without a calculator. The house is $500,000 and you want to buy it. You're 62 years old. You need to come in with 60% down. So that would maybe be $300,000. Well, my settlement was four. I could take three, buy the home of my dreams, and keep $100,000 for my retirement on top of keeping my 401ks and my assets in check. They're not being used. I mean, what a great way to...
You're buying a house with a reverse mortgage instead of, like you said, a forward mortgage.
Right. Absolutely. Huh. Absolutely. So it's a great way to start over. If that's what you want to do, is start over.
Right.
Fabulous way to preserve and make sure that you are feeling really confident about your financial situation going forward. Because now you're going to be responsible for your life afterwards. So it's a great way to keep as much as you can in your pocket.
Indeed. And okay, so now let's talk about this. How does a divorce impact an existing reverse mortgage?
Well, I thought that was an interesting question. No one ever has asked me this. So I was like, oh, this is good. I'm excited about this. So in a divorce, you've had two people on the loan, right? So we have the both parties are currently on the loan. We're going to take the one off. So to remove the exiting spouse, you need to do a new loan. That's the only way you're going to be able to, true with a forward too, by the way. That's the only way you're going to be able to get them off.
Huh?
But when now, listen, we've been unmarried for a while, and we find a new love of our life, and we want to get married. What happens to that party? Because it's kind of, you know, there's the other side of the story. So how do you add them to the loan? Well, you can let them know that you've gotten married and you're adding John over here onto the property with you. That doesn't really protect a lot of rights for him, and that's something you would want to talk to your attorneys about and your estate planning. Does John need to have access to your home's equity, or is it something that's just between you and your children, or you know, your estate? So if indeed John needed to be on the loan and you were interested in making sure that he was protected should you pass first and be allowed to stay in the home, then that, again, that would be another new loan. So it's, and then the third one is, what happens if somebody passes? I'm sorry, I'm probably over answering the question, but I think we'll just
go. No, not at all, because it's good, right? Because there's all these situations. One, you get divorced, you already got one, or you've got one, you get married, and then, okay, so what if the one party does pass away?
Absolutely. So there's two. Let's talk about the newly married couple first, and then I'll jump into what happened.
Okay.
So now we have we've added John on, and Mary has passed away. So he is allowed to stay in the home and enjoy the benefits of living on to a ripe old age of 120, and not having to pay anything on the loan. It'll probably be upside down, to be very honest with you, at that time.
Okay.
probably be much higher than the value of the home. However, any taxes and HOA and insurance being paid, that party, that surviving spouse, can stay in the home for as long as they want with no problems at all. So now we'll switch gears and talk about what happens if the woman passes away and she had a reverse on her home. Well, the home again is in the estate, so it's going to move
right
away. So at that point, if the house's value is greater than the loan, you'll want to sell it, or the kids may want to buy it. The estate may want to buy it and give it to another party. They can both do that. They just need to go out and get a new financing, probably a forward, although if they're over 62, they could do a reverse themselves and purchase that home. Or if the house is less in value than the loan, which I said, if you live past 100, I have not seen a loan that was not upside down once we get into the hundreds. It makes sense. You know, we are accruing interest upon interest upon interest over time. That would make sense. Then you just move up with the taxes and insurance, and you sell, you give the keys back to the bank. And again, no recourse. They're not going to come after you like we had the collapse of the industry when they were kind of hounding everybody and saying, you owe more money. And it's like, well, my house isn't even worth what it was worth before. So non-recourse loan, that doesn't happen. They can just walk away.
Now, are there any tax implications for either spouse when you get a reverse mortgage?
I'll start with, I'm not a tax expert.
Right, okay. Yes, with that good disclosure, but there probably are some issues.
I'm not the tax person. However, if you take out a home equity line of credit and you get it, it's just a loan. It's money coming to you, and you're not going to pay taxes on it. It's the exact same reverse mortgage. Our taxes due, absolutely, when the home is sold, the taxes are due at that time. Any inheritance taxes would be due at that point. So now the spouse, if that spouse were to get the lump sum of money, it would pertain to them actually the same way. Again, it's just a loan. You're taking equity out of something that you already own, and you're not paying tax on it because it's not really income.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, and I mean, it sounds like this is created for those who have a home as they're aging and the cost of living, like they can't keep up with it. So it's a way to borrow from that equity, but also be able to maintain some cost of living.
Right. Absolutely.
Now, and so let's say, I don't know that I can do this math. I'm going to give you the hypothetical. Okay, so let's just say you borrowed $100,000. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do easy math. Like the interest rate is 10%. So, let's say that was a 10 or 20 year loan. The money that they're going to take out of the sale of that house would then be the original loan amount, the $100,000, plus the accrued 10% over the amount of years.
Absolutely. You nailed it. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And what it happened in 2018, under President Trump, the industry, which is HUD and the agencies that run these programs, decided that they didn't really want to own houses. They'd already experienced a dip in value. So they said, well, you used to be able to get 75% of the value of your home. Oh, everybody was really happy about that. And then they kind of looked to see, well, how come some of these houses are going into foreclosure? Well, it turned out not everybody makes great decisions with lumps of money. And they thought, well, maybe we should look at that. So one of the things they did was they gave it a haircut. They said that the maximum you can get out of the house, my 92-year-old only got 62% of the value of his home out. When you're 62, you can only get 40% of the value of your home out. So they gave a haircut on how much you could get out in equity on the home. The other thing they said, or they made a ruling in 2018, was that the first year you could only get 60% of what that equity was. Again, they felt like lump sum monies maybe weren't the best choice, and we would only give you X amount out the first year. The second year, you would be able to have all of it. Now, with forwards, with a divorce, it is you're allowed to pull more out because you're paying a divorce decree is telling you you need to give this money to another party. I have not seen any ruling on a reverse mortgage if a woman wanted to take it out and the money that she needed to pay her ex was greater than the 60%. So again, I looked through all the rules since we set up talking, and I have not seen anything that it dictates one way or the other. So it could be a, oh, I wasn't expecting that. It could be one of those scenarios, but at this point, I can't find anything that says it one way or the other.
That, and that's really helpful. This is fascinating to me, just because it is it's a technique, it's a strategy that I'm sure. Now, can you share a bit more about the steps involved in finding the right professional, especially for someone who might be feeling overwhelmed by the process, like a woman, you know, just finishing a divorce in the middle of it? They can sometimes get overwhelmed.
Absolutely. Well, for one, I do loans in Florida, so you can always talk to me if you want.
Okay, good.
A little self-promotion there. But in the meantime, what I would say is, you know, when you're talking to people to hire an attorney, or you're talking to somebody to as a doctor to represent you as your medical needs, you're interviewing them. You're asking them questions.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You need to do that. You need to be your own self-advocate. I loved your last podcast about the woman who wanted to be the coach for helping going through a divorce. So I think, you know, you need to have somebody remind you that you or the greater you of people helping you need to talk to these people that you're going to have represent you and make sure that they've done reverses. It's not like that, well, yeah, I did one 8 years ago. Well, the rules have really changed since 8 years. I would ask, how many reverses do you do? And how many people have you worked with in going through a divorce scenario? Not necessarily a reverse with a divorce, but just the divorce scenario in general, and in helping make that financing step through that. Because it is a much more emotional situation. And I've often said the two most emotional things are babies and houses, money. You know, so we want to
money,
make sure, right? We want to make sure that they're representing you, that they want to hear your story. It's really important that they hear your story and what your needs are.
Absolutely. Now, let's just talk about how do you ensure your clients, and especially women, as this is Women Winning Divorce, a lot of women listeners, you know, how do you have them feel empowered and confident about their decision in regards to a reverse mortgage?
Absolutely. I don't rush anybody. And I understand that it's a big decision, and there's a lot of negative chatter coming into your ears telling you to run away and hide. So I want to make sure that people are well educated and comfortable. One of the first things I will do if somebody were to contact me is, we're going to do a 30-minute consultation. What's going on? What are your needs? What are your fears? What are you thinking about for retirement? Because even though you're looking at the divorce, you need to look about what's going to happen in the next 20, 30 years of your life. But it all comes into this giant picture of what's going on, your finances. So after we've had that conversation, I'll ask a couple of questions. And based on what I'm hearing you needing or wanting, I'll put together a proposal and get that out to you. At that point, when you get that proposal, you're going to get, I hope you can see this book. And I think, I don't know if it's upside down when you're looking at it or not.
But it's I see it.
Understanding Reverses. Now, it's a book. But it has about 62 different questions and 1 to 1.5 page answers. So it's plain English, simple explanations. I wish I had written this book. I didn't. But it's a third party. And I really respect this gentleman. And I really feel like it's going to help you, the party looking at a reverse, feel more comfortable about making that decision. After you have the book and you have the proposal, I tell you to read the book and mark every page that you don't understand or you have a question about. We'll get back on a Zoom call. And if you're local, I will do a cup of coffee with you. And we will go over every question. Make sure that you're really, really comfortable. That you're in control. You can make good choices. If you're ready to go forward, then we'll start. You'll go take a class. That always scares everyone. Oh, my God, I have to pass it. It's like high school where it's an A to F situation, but it is a pass type situation. They are a HUD industry counselors. So they have to pass HUD standards to be able to offer the classes. Or the proprietary loans have their same thing. They have counselors that have passed those criteria to make sure they can offer the class. They want to make sure that you understand, one, that it is going to, the balance is going to grow. You're going to pay your taxes to keep from losing your home. You're going to pay your home insurance. And if it's an adjustable rate loan, that rate's going to adjust. They're just, it's about an hour long, usually done on the telephone.
Yeah.
They want to make sure you really understand. Once you get the certificate, we are good to go. The application, you get an appraisal. It is an asset-based loan, so we're looking at the house more than anything else. Obviously, if you've had some credit issues, they're going to look at that, they being the underwriters. But it's not like when we go do a loan right now where, you know, we have to have a FICO score at 700 and perfect credit and money in the bank. And it's like, why get the loan? You know, I'm the ideal client. That's not the situation. It is an asset base. We're going to look at the house first. Can it support the interest rate? Can it support, you know, giving you the money that you need to do? And go from there. Once it's done, it's like any other loan. You'll go to a closing table. You guys use title companies. We did here in Colorado also. You go and close. We are live funds, which means all the money has to come to the table. I believe that's true for Florida also.
Okay.
And then monies are dispersed out. Only thing that it has a three-day period. I was trying to think of how to say it correctly. The government, again, stepped in and said, we want to make sure that if you're doing any refinance on your primary property, we want to make sure you're really comfortable with doing it. So there's a three-day waiting period. And that's true for forward loans. It is true for HELOCs, and it's true for reverse mortgages.
Now, you may have said this, but when you do a reverse mortgage, Do some people still have an initial mortgage and maybe it's just lower, or can that happen?
Yeah.
You don't have to own the house free and clear. Even if you did have a mortgage still, may still be a product that you can get.
Absolutely. I don't even want to say typically anymore, because one reverse company has come out with a reverse line of credit in a second. So for all of us that were able to do it, have interest rates in the twos. We don't want to get rid of that loan. We love our 2.5%
loan.
So they actually have figured out a way for you to be able to tap your equity without paying off your 2% loan. And it's a step reverse. And that is a proprietary loan. However, you can also just get a regular loan, a reverse loan, and pay off the entire balance of the first, and now it's the only loan on the property. So with the proprietary second, you're still going to be making payments on your first loan, that one that's
in the loan, right.
But you won't make any payments on the line of credit second, the reverse loan second. So, which is, again, another way to avoid a lot of heavier payments. You know, you can go to the bank and get a HELOC, and interest rates are down. It's great. They can go up, and then, you know, your payments go up.
Yeah.
So great. So, yeah, it's a way to avoid that situation.
And I think, now I do understand it, which I am so thankful. I appreciate the way you explained it. But I think just for our listeners, if you're thinking, though, hey, it's really important that this is our family home and I'm leaving this to our children, I think you really got to dig into this and make sure this is the right thing for you, because that may affect whether or not they can have the house or not, right? Depending on the value. But you may not be able to stay in the house if you don't. So I think there's a lot of evaluations clearly that need to be made before you do this.
Absolutely. Like I said, I don't rush anybody. I've had some clients wait 3 years before they actually move forward with doing the reverse. We had the initial consultation. We went over all the questions. They did not take the class because they weren't ready to move forward. But I was there to counsel them up to that.
Yeah.
And then when they were ready to take it, they took the class. The class is good for 6 months. Costs around $200 plus or minus, but that's kind of a good price range. And then we were able to move forward. So, and I talk to them every year. You know, it's like, here's where interest rates are. This is what you could do. Yes, I definitely, it's not a quick and sudden decision, but
okay.
Right person's needs and situation, it's a really good product. It's a really good
okay.
And it should it should at least be considered. It doesn't mean you have to do it, but it should at least be considered. I think that's important.
Yeah. I think that makes sense. Well, this has been fascinating. So educational, Laura. Really appreciate it. We're really pretty much out of time. But before we go, can you impart on our listeners what you've learned about women and their resilience through your career and experience?
And I love that you ask this at the end of every one of your interviews. And it is important. I mean, I'll get emotional now. I think women are so strong and so resilient, and we go through so much, and we get to wherever we are in life, and sometimes we realize that maybe our strength and our resilience wasn't always in our best interest long run. So we took care of children, we took care of aging parents, we took off from work, we didn't put as much in savings, we didn't give Social Security enough money. I think all of those are concerns for us going forward, and I don't think there's a lot of advocacy. I'll never get that word out again correctly. A lot of support for us still. I'm a boomer. I definitely came out of that women's awakening to take care of ourselves. I've raised two strong-willed women at this point. So I do feel like it's really good for us to make sure that we're going to be okay. We're going to survive this and be okay at the end. And, you know, like I said, this is a product that can help you feel financially secure and secure about your life going forward, if that's what you want, you know, if that works for you.
That's wonderful. I love that. And lastly, Laura, where can our listeners find you for more information and resources?
Absolutely. You can go out to laurafillips.com. I think you'll have that. So Phillips is with two L's. There's another way to spell it. But yeah, if they reach out to me through Laura Phillips, there's a place where you can sign up to do a consultation with Carol D. We can set up a time to do that. We can get information out to you. I'm working on a white paper to kind of give you the basics of how to use a reverse mortgage in a divorce. And I'd be happy to share that with you once I get done. And in the meantime, if they ask for it, I'll get it out to them once I get it completed.
Lovely. We appreciate that for sure.
Your talk really made me think about putting this together separately from the book. It takes the book's idea, but it puts it specifically into this one use. And I wanted to make sure that that gets out there.
Well, and I think that's really helpful because you can really answer the women's questions going through divorce. And we will absolutely make sure all those links are in the show notes for our listeners.
Well, thank you very, very much. And thank you so much for allowing me to be a guest speaker.
Absolutely. And thank you so much, Laura Phillips, for joining us to discuss understanding how reverse mortgages work, how they can help women navigate divorce and secure financial stability afterwards. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Listeners, if you or someone you know in the Northeast Florida area is going through or even thinking about divorce, you're not alone. Taking that first step can feel overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. Our newsletter is filled with actionable advice tailored to guide you through this process. By signing up, you'll gain the tools to face the unknown with courage and see if we're the right fit to support you during this life-changing time. Don't wait. Click the link in the show notes, fill out the form, and take the first step toward building a brighter future today.